The word heaven has probably not been one of those words that has been neglected. I think in any language, people know and recognize the word heaven. But boy, have we abused that word. Have we sent it through all kinds of ringers, be it through music or the arts or some fairy tales or movies. But heaven is a word that is found in the Word of God. And it's not a little word. It's so utterly important. You know, we talk about life and death. We talk about all kinds of situations. And in churches, usually, I mean, we focus on that. We focus on how to overcome the things of life. We talk about how we can be better people, make an impact in our society, be a good father, good husband, all these things we talk about. But ultimately, it comes down to eternity and the destiny of that. And so even the people that are all wrapped up in ministry, you know, missionaries, those who sacrifice everything, yes, we go to Irian Jaya, we go to Mali, we go to the uttermost parts of the world to help people, to feed people. You know, our passion for orphans, to care for those who are in need. But ultimately, it comes down to this word, heaven. What is it? Well, you know, the scriptures talk about it. In this passage, as we go through the book of Revelation, there are three things I just want to point up very briefly and very quickly to you today. I think the first thing is that heaven is new. I think sometimes people just think of heaven as a little bit better place than here, especially with all these mythological ideas of heaven and maybe some of the New Age concept of what heaven may or may not be. You know, all the religions around the world, they think about those kinds of things. Just a little better than here. So isn't it amazing that a lot of people are not really sure they want to go to heaven? They like it here. We do everything within our power to stay here because we're not really sure we like heaven at all. I think the thing we find here is that heaven is new. Says it. The old has gone. There's a newness of things. Now imagine with me for a second. What if Adam and Eve never sinned? Right? What if they didn't take that fruit and bit into it? What if they made a choice, the tree of good and evil, they stayed away from as God told them to? What if that would have happened? You know it wouldn't take very long because they wouldn't die. There's no death at all. That the population of this earth would have just flourished, right? Just multiply, multiply. How long would it take before the Garden of Eden would have been populated, and they have to spill outside, and the Middle East, wherever that is, and on, would have, this earth would have been full. But never mind, because we know there's another planet. It's called Mars. They could have gone there, right? And they could have gone to the rest of the planets in our solar system. And not only that, there's a lot of solar systems in our galaxy. And our galaxy is called a Milky Way galaxy. It's massive. We can't imagine how many planets are there. But that's only one of the smaller galaxies of this universe that we have no idea how vast it is, right? This is all designed and created by the Almighty God for people. Of course, we never experience such things because sin caused the destruction of what all the things would have been. Even the heaven and earth, the earth itself is groaning for something new. But I want you to understand this. When heaven comes, and what is described here, even all that, the whole solar system, all those galaxies, etc., they're all going to be gone. Because the scripture says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. The old are going to be gone. Now, how does that relate to us other than a little bit of knowledge? I want to tell you something. I believe that somehow even in the hearts of evangelical Christians, born-again believers in Jesus Christ, I'm not sure we're convinced of that very much. You say, why? Why? We believe in... Well, you know what? Sometimes it's not what we say, you know? It's what we do. It's what we do. One of the things that Barbara and I love to do and we did it again this past Christmas, is we just happened to bump upon it a few years back in Sugar Land. You guys know this, you live there or nearby. There's a place called, I think it's called Palm Real. And it's these gigantic houses, you know. We're driving to a friend's house one day and we kind of got lost, I think. And we got into this street and went, whoa, what is this? All these gigantic mansions, right? And we happened to get there during Christmas time, and you know, they just want to decorate. You know, you've seen it, right? Maybe some of you have houses there, I'm not sure. You know, they decorate all these beautiful houses. They open all the windows so you can see inside, because they want you to see inside. And all these spiral stairwells, it's just beautiful. But so we're driving through it, and I blurted out a statement, and not planned at all. I'm driving it, and it's so beautiful, so big, so large. And I said, it's just wrong. This is just wrong. No man should be living in places like this. Not trying to make judgment on richness or whatever it is, but somehow, you know, 8,000, 20,000 square feet of space is just too much for a couple of people, I think. This is my opinion. But, you know, a lot of us like to build things on earth here. We want the old to survive. We don't want this earth to go on, you know, and disappear. We like what we have. He said, no, not really. Oh, yeah? Think about the things that you do. But the scripture says, things are going to be new. In case you want to know what heaven is going to be, it's not going to be anything like here, okay? It's going to be new. All the stuff that we may, you know, think is so important here, it's nothing there. We talk about gold and we talk about all these things. It's just ways to describe heaven in a way that we can barely understand it here. It's all it is. It's something that we cannot even imagine or fathom. It's not just that we get to this cloudy place with a bunch of wings on our back. That's not heaven. Heaven is so much greater than that. It's going to be all brand new. The whole universe is going to be new. I remember one of my favorite professors, Dr. Kenyon. He's a New Testament professor. He was great. And he was old, you know, when he was teaching me. And he's gone with the Lord now. He says, you know, the first thing I want to do, I want to spend the first 10,000 years in heaven just investigating all the other planets that God would make. Because he was kind of an adventurer, you know. There's so many exciting things. But you know what? It is new. It is different. And tell you what, the scripture says here there will be no more tears. There's no more pain, no more crying. Can you imagine that? This morning I woke up and my left shoulder and my right shoulder, they both hurt. I don't know why. I didn't do anything to it. Scripture says that won't happen anymore. Some of you might have some pains too. Wouldn't that be great? There'll be no more sadness, you know? I have to say every once in a while I reminisce. I do reminisce. I think about my mom, whom I was very close to, you know, when she passed away a few years back. I mean, it hurt. I'm not sure I've gone through the grieving process yet, but it's the kind of pain I took it. And as guys can do, you know, guys and girls are different, I put it in a box. I remember during that stretch when I had to go up to New York and do the funeral and prepare and plan and work out things, I'm going to put it in a box. And one day I'll open it up. And I'll grieve for my mom, you know. I haven't yet. You know what, in heaven? You don't have to do that. I don't know how, you know, some people say, do you lose all your memory of the past, of the loved ones? I have no idea. But I know this is what the scripture says. It's new. It's not like here. Over here, you might have joy, but you have sorrow. You might have exciting moments, they're very difficult moments. You know, all these things, not so in heaven. It's different. Not only the place, not only the planetary things, I don't know exactly what it is, but there's going to be a new heaven and new earth, and it's all come together like heaven is new. So don't hold on to anything that's old. It's not worth it. There's nothing here that you can bring up there other than people. And your love for God that's going to survive in heaven because it's not good enough. Heaven is new. I love that. Second thing I read here is heaven is pure. I'm not sure we really know what purity is. You know, we read about it, we think about it, but you know, our experiences in life, well, they're all about impurity. Whatever it may be. You can put whatever amount of filters you want on those water, you know, pots and all, you know, it's not going to be pure all the way. It's not just water. It's the rest of things. In heaven, it is pure. And you know what? I want to tell you something. Sometimes we think, why does it have to be that way? Why does heaven have to be all these things? You guys are so, you know, legalistic and so kind of, you know, bigoted and all. Why does it have to be like that? Why is heaven so exclusive? Why can't it include everybody, you know? We are in an age of inclusivity. But that's what the scripture says. Heaven is pure. And it describes it too. It says things that is very politically incorrect to say. But you know what? The scripture, well, our Almighty God, he doesn't really care. Verse 8, it says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. You say, do you have to do it again, John? How many times do you have to write this, right? We read this last week in chapter 20. We read it further on before. Do you have to pound this in? This is about heaven. Why don't you just leave that alone? Because God wants us to understand that in his heaven, it's pure. It's going to be filled with people who are going to be righteous and pure. And it's going to be people that are going to be his people. And the rest, they can't get in, no matter how much we say so. It's kind of like this, you know. You can allow whatever in your house, right? It's your house, at least for now. I want to tell you, Barbara and I, we make plans for our house. When we moved in our house, we prayed it through. You know, we asked the Lord to bless it. And many people have come to our house, and usually they say, you know, there's a sense of peace here. It's not because of the, you know, smell we put in and stuff like that. We believe it is a spiritual thing. It is something that is real. It is something that God has placed in there. That has been the description of our houses, whether here or New York. When people come in the house, we pray with them. We always pray with them. Whether it's a serviceman, a mailman, whatever it is. Because we believe in that. We believe that God can make a difference in the lives of people. And in our house is placed for. So as a result of that, there are things that we have made choice in. Let me tell you. We don't drink. So we don't have alcohol in our house. Maybe there's a couple of cooking wine and stuff. That's about it. You're not going to find. You say, can I have a beer, Pastor? No, I don't have any beer. I don't drink. We don't have in our house. Hey, can I have a, I don't know what they call it, a couple of weeds, you know? No, I don't have marijuana in my house either. Rest assured, I have no cocaine. I don't have any illegal drugs in my house. I barely have legal ones. You know what else we don't have? We don't have perverted books or magazines. We don't let any of it come in, even through the internet. We make choices of not to, you know, have those kind of things. Comcast, you know, you might have some things you want to bring in. I'm not letting you in. We make choices of what comes into our house. You know what else we don't have? We don't have these little Buddhas there. We don't have these little idols there that a lot of people have. A lot of Chinese people, they have all these things. We don't have those because they represent demonic powers. And we've seen enough of those things, we won't have them. I don't have calendars from restaurants, you know, that have all these things there. And you just, oh, it's just a calendar. Oh, yeah, but I don't really want to have that picture in my house. These are the choices I make in my house. I want to tell you, God has made some choices in his house. And that's what he says, pure. He says, all these people, and at the end of that passage that we read a little bit, he says, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are what? Written in the book of life. This is God. It's his rule. He's a loving God. And I want to tell you, at that moment in time, chapter 21 of Revelation, it is not the period of grace anymore. It is the period of heaven. The grace period is over. And so what does that speak to us about? Well, I want to tell you, just got to speak truth to people. Heaven's a great place. You don't want to miss heaven. I would love to see you in heaven. And I have lots and lots of friends. And last year, you know, we had a bunch of folks from CBC that went to heaven. It's going to be a wonderful place. You want to be there. You want to make sure you get into the book of life. You want your family members to be there? Make sure. You can't just say, well, I don't agree with this, Pastor Dan. It's wrong, you know. My friend, he lives this way, but he's a great guy. My mother, you know, he served, you know, did all these wonderful things for us. She just thought, well, you can't make rules like that. It's God's house. Remember this one person I spoke with? And I just broke for her. It was painful to talk with her. You know why? She was such a sweet person. And it was at a conference. And she said to me, Pastor Dan, I believe what you're saying, but I can't receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I can't do it. So why not? See, my mom died about 6 months ago. I love her to death. She's not a Christian. And if I believe what you're saying, if I choose what you want, you know, ask me to do, if I choose Jesus, then I am saying that my mom is not going to be in heaven with me. I can't do that. Wow. You know, I wish, maybe not, but, you know, I guess as a person, I wish we could make those decisions. You know, if I just believe hard enough, it will be. If I make that choice, that's going to be. Well, it doesn't happen that way. Just because she refuses to believe that her mom was not in heaven doesn't make it that her mom will be in heaven. What you and I have to do is make sure before the moment ends that your mom and whoever else you love has an opportunity to make that choice. The last thing about heaven that I want to share with you today is that it is filled with God's presence. Love it. There's no sun anymore, no moon, no stars. You don't need any of that. In the new heaven and new earth, all that's happening, you don't need any of that because God is in our presence. Meanwhile, you know, our society is doing everything we can to get rid of God. We remove God from our schools. No more praying to God. You got a manger in the courthouse, get out, you know. How much longer before they throw all the scriptures in the Supreme Court building out? You know, scrape it all, redesign the Supreme Court. I read an article this week that there's a movement trying to remove "In God We Trust" from our dollar bills. We're making every effort to get rid of God. And yet in heaven, the greatest thing is that God is there. Right there with his people. You don't even need a temple. There's no need for a church building to go to. You don't need any of that stuff because God is right there. That is what we crave for the most, more than anything else. Why do you think people in India or in Thailand, all over the world, you know, they're not worshiping the God that we know, but nevertheless, they worship God. And even if it cost them so much to worship God, in the old days we read about the Baal God, where they would sacrifice their sons, you know, the firstborn, so that they can worship this Baal God. Why do you think they would do that? I told you the story a long time ago about a man who was traveling with one of my staff members to India one day. He was sitting next to him. And he decided he wanted to worship God. He wanted to worship the Hindu God. In fact, he was going to see Sai Baba. You remember him, one of the gurus of India, who can do miraculous things, you know. He can just turn in thin air. A diamond will come into his hand and stuff like that. So he was going there, and in the conversation of saying how he wanted to worship that kind of God, he said, I am going to give my deed to Hard Rock Cafe. He owned the Hard Rock Cafe in New York City. He was going to give it to Sai Baba. Whatever it takes, you know, it is worship. They're worshiping the wrong gods. But nevertheless, in the depths of the man's heart, in the depths of humanity, we need to worship because we were made to worship. But we're made to worship God in heaven. We'll be right there because he'll be right with us. So maybe there's all kinds of great and wonderful things in heaven. I know that without a doubt. But the greatest of all is that it is filled with God's presence. That's why I believe when we gather to worship like this morning, whether in a small group, a fellowship group, when we gather to worship, it should be one of those things that just delights us because we're gathering together to worship God. And that's the craving of man's heart. No, we don't know it. People don't think it, but it is. It is what's inside of us. That's what we want the most. It is God's presence in our midst. And heaven is filled with God's presence. Today I want to share with you these thoughts. Go home and read about it. Rejoice that if your name, and I hope every single person in this room, your name is in the book of life, you are going to experience heaven for eternity. But also, just know that those that don't have their names, they won't. Can't make it up, can't change it, but you can do something about it. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, I am so excited about heaven. Thank you so much for your promise. Lord God, would you minister in our midst and through us so that your love and the possibility of heaven can go forth from this room. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.